You know, Randy, there's lots of top 10 lists.
Tons.
Favorite whiskeys, top 10 ryes, top 10 bourbons, blah, blah, blah. This isn't one of those lists. Mm-mm. Because we're going factual here today.
Factual.
These are the top 5 highest selling bourbons last year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can't argue with that.
Yeah.
So if you want to know what those are, stick around.
Before we get too deep into it, I'd like to take a moment to thank our Patreon supporters.
You guys are awesome.
It's not just about donating to the channel, although that's a good reason.
We appreciate that.
But there are a lot of member benefits. We've got bonus content. Mm-hmm. We got special offers, distillery takeovers, one of the coolest things we do.
Yes.
Going to the distillery, private tours, drinking out of barrels, whole nine yards, barrel picks, in-person meetups. We've got monthly virtual bottle shares, massive discounts on merchandise, mm-hmm. and the satisfaction of knowing you're supporting the channel and its mission.
Of course.
Yeah. So, all right. So disclaimers, this list came from liquorlaboratory.com.
Okay. That sounds official.
Yeah. It sounds official. So I saw a number of lists, and it was mostly lists that were released from like online retail mm-hmm. type sites. And there was a lot of overlap, but there was some variance. But at the end of the day, I just had to pick one. They had a good bourbon list, so we ran with it.
Yeah.
And I also, it doesn't look like they distinguish between SKUs. Mm. Okay, so if Maker's Mark has Private Select and 101 and Cash Strength and the regular small batch and all of that stuff, it looks like they're adding all of those numbers together.
It makes sense.
Okay, and so we have to keep that in mind. All right, so coming in at number 5, we have Maker's Mark.
Mm, and we've got the Maker's Mark 101 here, which is one of my favorites.
One of my favorites. Yeah. I enjoy the Maker's Mark Cash Strength, but on certain days, it just hits me a little bit too hot.
Yeah, it's a good weeder by the old Bill Samuels crew over there. Historic buildings. Bread recipes. I mean, this is one of those places, obviously you recognize the red wax. It is a global staple. Whenever you're anywhere and you see that red dripping wax, you mm-hmm. know that that is a Maker's Mark.
And the bread recipe reference that he made, there's the story about how he figured out what his mash bill was gonna be.
Yeah.
His wife, I believe her name was Marjorie, baked different bread recipes mm-hmm. for them to determine what tasted the best to him, and that's supposedly how they decided what their recipe was going to be. And there's also a story that he was friends with the actual gentleman, Pappy Van Winkle.
Pappy Van Winkle, right.
And that he consulted on the mash bill as well. Sadly, though, they came this close to replicating what they were making at Stitzelweller. Mm. But because there was I think it was a Beam was their first master distiller, because Beams are always the master distiller
obviously.
In Kentucky. They ended up going with a different yeast strain. So we may have a mash bill that's similar to what made Pappy Van Winkle famous, but since the yeast is different, it tastes a little bit different.
Tons of history, tons of really cool stories from that. And so obviously it belongs on the list. It's no question it's one of the top selling every year.
Yeah. And it's relatively easy to find and relatively affordable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number 4 on the list, what do we got?
Next up on the list, we've got Bullet.
Bullet.
All right, one of my favorites on this list. I've got an obvious favorite, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But you can't go wrong with Bullet. I mean, it is in movies, it's in TV shows, it's a staple around the United States for sure.
To be honest, I was surprised. Bullet was like really high up on every single list that I found. I had no idea they sold that much, but I think that they do really well in international markets.
Yeah.
And Bullet is a really interesting backstory, because they were started by Diageo. And Diageo, whenever Seagram's went bankrupt and they were breaking up the Seagram's assets, Diageo bought Four Roses. They don't own it today. They ended up selling it off. But they bought Four Roses, and they used a lot of the like distilling techniques that had been developed at Four Roses and at MGPI, because those two were both owned by Seagram's, and brought all of that over to Bullet. And so Bullet has a lot of overlap with Four Roses in terms of they have 5 different yeast strains, and you know, so they have 10 different recipes, all of that stuff. And they're also built on the site of the historic Stitzelweller distillery that was started by Pappy Van Winkle, and is where the whiskey came from that made the Van Winkle line famous internationally.
Yeah.
So there's kind of a connection there, and then the connections to Seagram's and Four Roses. So Really, really interesting distillery, and they make a good product.
One of the only on this list that has the palletized aging, which is kind of a cool difference between them and a lot of the distillers you see in Kentucky.
So. Yeah, so most distilleries rick their barrels, so they're on their sides, the bunghole's on the side. It is more space efficient to palletize your barrels, so you put them on the ends, mm-hmm. and Stand you put up. Four on a pallet, and then a pallet on top of that, and four more, pallet on top of that, four more. And it reduces angel share loss, and you can store more whiskey in a smaller space. But because the Bullet Distillery was designed with modern technology in mind, they are palletized in their aging process, unlike all of the others that are on this list. What whiskey will blow your mind that isn't even bourbon and you've probably never heard of? J.T. Melick. It comes from a crawfish and rice farm in Louisiana. It's one of the few ground-to-glass distilleries in the U.S., and it's amazing. How did a crawfish and rice farmer become the producer of one of the best whiskeys I've ever tasted?
We're gonna lose money on the rice, so we turned it into whiskey.
Mike's family are sixth-generation rice farmers in Louisiana, and the thought of not growing rice was unbearable. So when rice prices dropped, they decided to grow rice anyway and turn it into whiskey. I know what you're thinking. Randy, it's rice whiskey. How could it be good? This isn't some half sake. I sent out blind sample packs with five other highly regarded allocated bourbons. When people didn't know what they were drinking, they liked the J.T. Melick more. This whiskey surprised me. Someone brought a bottle over to my house, and it blew my mind.
Where'd you get the whiskey?
Yeah, where'd you get the whiskey?
I brought it to Randy's house.
No, you didn't.
Yeah!
I thought I was the bad cop.
No, I'm the bad cop.
You're both bad.
So if you want a mind-blowingly good whiskey at an affordable price, pick up a bottle of J.T. Melick right now. And if there's a vodka lover in your life, don't overlook the vodka. Unlike most vodkas, theirs actually tastes good. To find a shipping retailer or a local retailer near you, click the link in the video description. Clicking the link lets them know that we sent you, so they know to keep advertising with us. Cheers. What do we got for number three?
Well, it's been fresh on everyone's mind. We're just outside of the Kentucky Derby as we're filming this. And so, obviously, the whiskey that comes to mind is Woodford Reserve.
Yes, Woodford Reserve is a staple. It can be found almost everywhere, mm-hmm. solid pour. It is the same mash bill as Old Forester. Because both Old Forester and Woodford Reserve are owned by the Brown-Forman Corporation.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so got the same mash bill, but meant to be, you know, kind of a more premium version right. or whatever. Something else that's very interesting about Woodford is they heat cycle their warehouses.
Yes.
So we've that talked is. About it on this show before, but whiskey's aging maturation process is escalated by temperature change, and Kentucky is a more aggressive environment than, say, Scotland.
Right.
But it's nowhere near as aggressive as places like Texas.
Right.
And so to speed up that cycling process so the whiskey tastes mature at a younger age, they actually have heaters in their aging warehouses, and they change the temperature in the winter.
Mm. That's cool. I really think that it's probably the number one answer I get from new whiskey drinkers that are really just getting into drinking whiskey neat or bourbon. And you ask them, hey, what's your favorite so far? And it's typically Woodford Reserve.
Yeah.
So it's a popular one.
It's a good one. And distillery is beautiful. It was built for tourism. Mm-hmm. So most of the distilleries were built to be manufacturing plants. They never anticipated that there was going to be a tourism industry around right. seeing where whiskey is made. But Woodford is built to invite you. So it's a good place to visit.
For sure.
Number two on the list.
Number two is so near and dear to my heart. It is my favorite distillery. A lot of my favorite products come from this distillery, and that is Jim Beam.
Jim Beam, the first family of bourbon.
We salute you, Jim Beam.
We salute you, the Beam family.
Yes. That Beam yeast has got that peanut buttery goodness. Mm-hmm. I can pick it out a mile away. And we have representing them today, my favorite from the distillery, of course, which is Knob Creek.
Knob Creek. Yeah,
but they make the Basil Hayden there, they make Knob Creek, and obviously Booker's, all the Jim
Beams.
Baker 7, and they've got some really good tasting opportunities when you go there to their bar. Mm-hmm. The distillery bar was one of my favorite places. It kind of sits up on a hill.
You can see
it's all glass. All you're just kind of sitting there. And they've got a ton of really good options. A lot of the Bookers are there, all the Jim Beam single barrels. And so it's a fun place to visit too.
Do you hate it when whiskey companies try to pass off an inferior product for an outrageous price by hiding the truth about what you're buying? Did you know that that is a major problem in the skincare industry? It's easy to spend outrageous amounts of money on skincare products only to find out that they didn't put enough active ingredients to achieve the advertised result. That's why I love Geology. The percent of active ingredients are on the package, so you know exactly what you're putting on your skin. My wife Lindsay is a licensed esthetician, so skincare is a big deal in our household. When I told her that a skincare company wanted to partner with the podcast, she demanded that she review the products to make sure that they were legit. She took one look at the package and said, "This is real skincare." Not only is Geology crushing the skincare game, but they also have released a ton of amazing hair, body, and other skin products. So whatever you need, Geology has you covered. I did a test of their products before I agreed to let them partner with the show, and I've noticed a visible difference in the appearance of my skin. All of the products feel and smell great. I also discovered that all of their products require very little to achieve the result, so you'll be ordering less frequently, and over time you'll probably spend less money. There's a tracking link in the description below. Clicking the link lets them know that we sent you so they know to keep partnering with the show. For a limited time, they're gonna hook you up with an absolutely insane offer. If you use my code BOURBON70, they'll give you 70% off of their award-winning skincare trial set. On top of that, they're gonna give you an additional bonus offer of up to 50% off of one of the skin, hair, and body add-on products when you add it to your trial. Everybody should take care of their skin. Now's your chance. So click the link and get started today. Cheers. The number one selling.
Wow.
This is number one selling.
And this is going to shock you.
I think about how many different SKUs they have.
Yeah, though, that's true.
They have like 50-something SKUs, I think.
But I still think the name doesn't get enough love.
That's fair. Evan Williams.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Hill Distillery.
Heaven Hill Distillery. And so this one's kind of an interesting one. This is one I slept on forever,
mm-hmm.
you know, and most of the Evan Williams products are relatively, they're designed to be bottom shelf products, basically.
Right.
They're value plays. But when you've got a distillery...
Keyword value.
Value.
It tastes awesome.
Yeah. So when you've got a distillery that has this much distilling history, mm-hmm. because we made reference to it, the Jim Beam family... pretty much every major distillery in Kentucky has had or currently has a Beam as their master distiller.
Right.
And Heaven Hill is no exception. All of the distillers for Heaven Hill were Beams until recently. And so, you know, there's all of that, you know, experience that's been passed down from generation to generation.
Yeah.
And so when you take all of that experience and you couple it with the distillery that has the equipment and the resources, even their bottom shelf products are top shelf quality.
Yeah.
And so it kind of makes sense. Another interesting tidbit is that the Heaven Hill Distillery was totally destroyed by a fire in 1996. And I've heard rumors that they lost their yeast strain and that Jim Beam actually gave them their yeast because it was the closest thing that was in existence to what they had lost. I've also seen a video of Parker Beam's son saying that he saved the original yeast strain out of a refrigerator. But I can tell you that the pre-fire Heaven Hill tastes totally different than the post-fire Heaven Hill.
Yep.
The post-fire Heaven Hill tastes like Jim Beam nuttiness to me.
Yeah,
I don't get as much of it on the pre-fire. But little interesting tidbit. But that is our top five.
That's it.
It's
not even our top five. That's the world's top five.
That's the world's top five based on sales.
So don't hate us in the comments. You hate the world.
Hate the world.
Tell them that they are buying the wrong whiskeys if you disagree, because this is just what we pulled from the top five grossing bourbons this last year. I can't disagree. I love all of these.
They're all great. They're all readily available.
And they're solid pours.
They're all affordable.
That's the best part.
So if this is your first time tuning in, we'd love to thank you for the view and also let you know a little bit about our show philosophy. We're all about bringing people together around bourbon. And that became a focus of mine after I lost my brother to suicide in 2014. And in the aftermath of his passing and trying to figure out what led to him making that decision, I realized that he had lost his sense of community. And I saw how whiskey was bringing people together, even people of different ideological views that wouldn't normally form connections with each other were forming connections because of this brown spirit. And I wanted to leverage that to help create community. And through that path, I looked for opportunities to connect in the whiskey world, and I learned about whiskey trolls, which is not great.
Haters.
And they say terrible things to strangers online, usually with the aim being to elevate themselves and make the other person feel small. And that led to us starting Bourbon Real Talk Community, which is a online forum that's absolutely free. And we don't allow that troll behavior in there.
No, it's not, tolerated at all.
And we are very much a community. We are literally living lives together inside that online platform. But also seeing those haters online helped me to realize that if those people can hate strangers online, I can love strangers online. And that's why we end the show the same way each week. And that's this. If you woke up this morning and you're unsure whether or not anyone loved you, just know that we love you. And we'll see you next time on Bourbon Real Talk. Cheers.